Okay, this is an interview with Mrs. Frances Gresham at her home in Savannah on August 12, 1992, conducted by Barbara Hendry, tape number CB/010BH.
Put it closer to you. You might want to get a little closer.
Welcome, Mrs. Hendry. I'm very happy to be able to do this, and I hope it would be of service to you. I understand that you are interested in the Kyler Circuit and the Florence Street School. Florence Street School was organized February 10, 1930, for the purpose of educating African-American children. This school, first principal was Mrs. Emma Quinney. Mrs. Quinney was a lovable person whom I do not know. As I speak to you, I am talking about people who were the first staff of Florence Street School. And as I understand, Mrs. Quinney was the first principal and with 17 teachers. Although there were 21 rooms in the school, they were not filled at the beginning. But before the year was over, the 21 rooms were filled. And surprisingly, the school was not completed in 1930 when it was opened for educational purposes. It was still under construction, but it did not deter the learning experiences of the boys and girls. It so happened that I was attending Savannah State College, matriculating in education. And shortly afterwards, I received my BS degree. I received a job at the Florence Street School. Mrs. Billy G. Edwards was my first principal, and she was an amiable person to work with and to work for. I taught the third grade at Florence Street School on the second floor. And I lived to see a cafeteria added on. We used to have the cafeteria in the main building, but Florence grew so until the board saw a need for an additional building. And to go back a bit, when Florence first opened, there were 600 students under Mrs. Quinney's administration. But under Mrs. Willie G. Edwards, the school grew more. Mrs. Edwards was the principal at Springfield Terrace School, now known as the Pearl Lee Smith Elementary School. Pearl Smith was named for one of our Negro female druggists who lived on Wheaton Street here in Savannah. She was honored with this new name or name change. From Springfield Terrace to Pearl Smith. After Mrs. Quinney's retirement in 1947, Mrs. Willie Edwards became the principal. Due to retirement, marriage, reassignment, the school took on quite a few new teachers. I am proud to be one of them. And during this time, we grew to higher heights. Florence is a school to be recognized among all schools. We were not a little school. We were a big school doing big things. We were located in Savannah, as I first stated, on Florence Street and West 35th Street. This school had its 25th anniversary in 1955, where many of its students who are now parents and are sending their children to Florence came back to reminisce on the olden days. We are very, very proud of Florence. Now, there are so many things in there I did not say.
Oh, that's okay. Now, but what year did you start there exactly?
Was it? I started in 1949.
Soon after Miss Edwards became principal. Mm-hmm. And this was your first teaching job out of
Savannah
State?
My very first teaching job was at Florence. My very first principal was Mrs. Willie G. Edwards.
Are you from Savannah, Miss Gresham?
Yes,
from which part of town?
From the part they call the, it's due there north. The first, down here where this church is.
Oh, okay.
All the way down in that section.
Where the first African Baptist Church is.
Near the West Broad Street School. That was my first school.
I was going to say, where you got your education in Savannah, which schools you attended.
I attended the West Broad Street School. From there to Kyler Junior High. Mm-hmm. Kyler at that time had two sections, Kyler Junior High and Kyler Senior High. Then from there to Savannah State. Now, during the time I was attending Savannah State, I started Savannah. I wanted to go away because all of my life I've been in Savannah. Uh-huh. I'm a native. I went away to Columbia University. Then Savannah State started this grad program. So then why go away? I came back home, and that's where I finished.
So you finished a graduate program in education?
Right here, and I received my BS degree from Savannah State and my MA from Armstrong Savannah State. So everything was done in Savannah.
In 1940?
From 1949 mm-hmm. until 1986.
Mm-hmm. May I ask what inspired you to become a teacher, to go into the teaching profession?
Well, throughout my life, I wanted to be a teacher. When I used to play with my peers, I would play teacher. Mm-hmm. I had to be the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
When I was playing with my dolls, mm-hmm. I was teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching is just a part of me and something that I always wanted to do and always liked.
Was anyone else in your family a teacher?
Oh, yes, but they passed on years ago. And the last person, quite a few of my family members are teachers are affiliated with teaching in some form.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that inspired me.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always wanted to teach. I love it.
And you particularly were interested in elementary school children? Was that your area of specialization?
Yes. I particularly care for. Now, really, I've taught in the high school area, but my love is elementary.
And so you began as a third grade teacher at Florence Street
School
in 1949. Can you possibly remember back to your first weeks at the school and some of your impressions as a new teacher? Was the reality what you had prepared for? And
well, they do everything possible to prepare you. They have these orientation period. First, you know you must go to college and make the grade for it. Then after you qualify, you have these orientations. But still, when you enter that classroom for the first time...
Are those memories still vivid for you?
Oh, yes, I can remember the very first day.
Could you describe some of the first day at Florence Street?
Well, at that time, we had what we call supervisors. They would enter your classroom. They wouldn't say anything else but good morning or just observe. Well, you want to make good, you know that. And you were, even though you knew those people, you saw them day after day or at meetings. But when they came to observe you at work, it was an entirely different feeling. It's just like, to me, getting married. You coat your lover, but yet when you are facing him at the marriage ceremony, it's you have a different feeling.
That's how you felt the first day there with these people who you knew.
I knew the people. They welcomed me. They threw their arms around me. They gave me some high points of not to be nervous and what to do. Still it was there. Now I cannot vouch for other teachers, but I do know that that's the way I felt. When I met my principal, she was very sweet. She was motherly and has always been. But still I had that, you know, when you want to do good, you don't want to fail. You just want your first impression to be your lasting one and to be very good. And you sometimes you do wrong trying to do good.
I understand. I understand. I've done that.
And I found myself stammering. And I think I have an even floor of speech, but that first day I just wasn't Frances. But when I got home trying to explain myself to my parents, that period was different. I wasn't afraid. I could tell them verbatim, punctuatum, what happened without a flaw. But before the people, I was faltering. You understand? So now the first class, when I met the first class, now the children were small, and they were looking at me, and I was looking at them. I had little notes as to what to do and how to do and so forth, because I took courses in teaching, how to teach, and how to become a teacher, and what things to do. But I made it. I made it, and seemingly, I tried so hard until I made it with my principals and my parents and the children, because I was not one of those teachers to be transferred from school to school. I stayed a length of time everywhere I went.
And how long did you stay at Florence Street?
10 years. Before I was, I went into the high school, because my certificate said that I could teach from kindergarten to 12. So I stayed there 10 years before going to Tyler Junior High under Mr. Malcolm G. Thomas. But I liked it the first year and the second. In fact, I liked working there, but my love was with my little babies.
So you really prefer the younger grades.
Prefer the young, the smaller kids. Mm-hmm.
And even in Sunday school, I could have moved up to working with the seniors or adult class, but my preference was with the primary children.
So after a few years at Kyler, you went back to younger grades?
Yes.
At another school?
Yes, that's when I went back to, I went to Pearl Smith. Mm-hmm. And I stayed there under Mrs. Countess Cox for 10 years. And the system put in a program to help children called reading specialists, math specialists. They had a lot of specialists in the area. And I was put in the reading specialist to help children read well. And that only lasts one term, excuse me. And my principal got me back to Pearl Smith. She wanted me back there. And I wanted to get back as much as she wanted me back because the distance from my home to this Eli Whitney school, from this reading specialist, mm-hmm. I had a freight train to fight.
Oh, no. And those could take a long time.
Oh, my Lord. I tried a whole month trying to learn how to maneuver around that train. And I don't know what would happen. That train would beat me to the track. So, jokingly, I said to some former teachers, I said, I don't know. This train business is getting me. I said, one or two mornings it made me late. I said, but having an understanding principal, Mr. Brooks, I said, he told me he understood and I was new. Mm-hmm. And tried to learn how to beat that train by getting up even earlier. Mm-hmm. But I found myself, I was getting up 4 days in the morning, very early. But anyway, the opening came for me back at Pearl Smith, and my principal asked me did I want to come back because she wanted me back because she liked the way that I was working with the children, mm-hmm. and the children wanted me back. I thought, please. Mm-hmm. So I got back to Pearl Smith, and that's where I stayed until I retired.
And what year did you retire? 86. 86. Mm-hmm. 49 to 86. Mm-hmm. Teaching all those years.
Teaching and very few absentees. Mm-hmm. The Lord spared me with good health. And my principals did not have any trouble with me mm-hmm. being off the job. But I did have to get off because I had an aunt who reared me like a mother. But I had to get off because of other family. Mm-hmm. Being an only child, I had to take care of business. Mm-hmm. But for myself, the board has never had any problems with me.
Fortunate.
None whatsoever. So I enjoyed working at Florence and all my other schools, and not that many. Mm-hmm. And I worked in many capacities, and I followed any other employee. You try to please as much as you can. You do the best you can. And for that reason, my record came out nicely. I'm well pleased.
I'm not surprised. Because it comes through just in the way you speak about it, your love for the work and the children. We can feel that.
And still working with children. You would think, well, I was doing it all my life because not only did I work with children at school, mm-hmm. but I've been a scout leader, and I grew up from the scouting to a neighborhood chairman, mm-hmm. and have always worked in my church
mm-hmm.
with the primary children.
Mm-hmm.
I did not care to move up.
Mm-hmm. Now, while you were at Florence, your 10 years there, did you remain with the third grade students or grades?
The grades fluctuated. I did not stay there. No, no, no. I moved from the third grade up. The school went from 1 to 6.
Okay.
I did not get to the sixth grade, but I moved to the fifth grade
mm-hmm.
from third to fifth. And when I went to Pearl Smith, I went to fifth grade. I started off there. And it so happened that as time grew on, the grades would diminish in size, and that would cause a teacher to move from one grade to another, because if the third grades had enough children, and there were 4 teachers, now this is how we operated, if there were, for an example, if there were 3 teachers in third grade, and there were not enough teachers to warrant 3 third grades, one had to move up or down.
Mm-hmm.
So the way the principal did it, and I thought it was nice how she did it, the oldest teacher would have priority,
mm-hmm.
and the last teacher to come on the faculty would have to take the next priority.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it fluctuated, and it is still going on that way.
Mm-hmm. So you got some smaller classes there.
Not below third grade
okay.
now, but it was third on up.
Mm-hmm. Now, something you said earlier I find interesting. You mentioned you were very interested in knowing the students' parents and
oh, yes.
families and so forth. And I wondered if, for example, when you were at Florence, was it common for you to make home visits?
You had to.
Describe some of that.
In fact, teaching is not teaching unless you learn the whole child. And how can you learn about the whole child unless you make contact with his parents and his home?
So you would
make home visits. And it is still required, because if a child is out of school X number of days, you've got to find out what is wrong with him. Or send a visiting teacher. Some document has to be done on that child.
I guess during that period, was there a school social worker during those years at Florence?
Yes, there was a school social worker. Then the teacher had, if she was aggressive, she would see about her children herself.
And that
she
would
wait.
Were
mm-hmm.
interested, because
mm-hmm.
to give it to the one social worker, she
mm-hmm.
might have a big backlog and
sure.
not get to it right away.
I never was a teacher that would leave my job to someone else. Even though we had the school nurse, we had a doctor, we had social workers, we had visiting teachers, and so forth. But I felt to myself that a teacher must know these things herself. And so I would apply myself.
So you probably visited many families within that community.
I did.
Communities that are today... One of them is called Kyler Community today
mm-hmm.
and the Brownsville area.
But most of them today now, since this came about, the community has moved. Most of the people, if they are not dead out, they moved away from this city or moved into other areas. As Savannah grew, the people moved away, and that caused the school community to deteriorate, because the people moved out. Some were able to better their condition through marriage,
and through better jobs and so forth, and you couldn't blame them.
Mm-hmm. So they either left Savannah for better opportunities elsewhere,
mm-hmm.
or moved to other areas of the city.
All went on to glory.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a few, because that used to be one of the nicest, and some parts of it, it still is. But it's like any place else. We deteriorate, we fall down. And it's to be expected. Young people, when they get grown and get married, raise families of their own, and they marry the soldiers, they move away with their husbands.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of things happen to cause communities to deteriorate.
And you mentioned that Florence Street closed in
68.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you remember there being any kind of closing ceremony
yes,
or anything
we had
that
one.
You attended? Or?
And they had a beautiful closing ceremony. The last principal was Mrs. Margaret B. Johnson.
I've talked to her on the phone, and she's going to speak with me one day.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And she left that school just before the... When they closed it, they had to pack up everything. And, we had oodles of pictures, and I think I'm honored around there. Because... Believe it or not, I have served as the principal assistant. I worked directly in the principal's office at one time. And she was somewhat like a godmother to me.
Which principal was
Mrs.
that?
Mrs. Edwards.
Okay.
When
so
I worked under her.
All right.
See? And when I worked under Mrs. Edwards, I was just into everything. See, when Margaret became principal, Mrs. Johnson, I was at Pearl Smith then.
Right.
See, this is a different area that I'm talking about now. But they kept those pictures and had them on display. And the nicest thing I liked about it, all living teachers, all living students, all students who have become parents and had students, children attending Florence were invited, and we had an outdoor affair.
I guess it was a fair, both happy and sad mix.
It was very sad to me because I don't believe I heard a speaker. I was just reminiscing, looking over all the whole building and naming the teacher who... I remember when so-and-so was in that room, that was my room, that was Mrs. So. That's what I was doing, reminiscing.
Mm-hmm.
And they had each one of us to stand and speak about the school, how we enjoyed working there, the year we went there, under whom we worked, and so forth, and that was very nice.
And I imagine there was a huge turnout.
Oh, yes. And the board was very nice because they allowed the principals. We were scattered in various schools. And the board allowed the principals to allow those teachers to attend that ceremony and return back to their school.
Oh, good.
That was beautiful.
Was there any kind of movement that you know of to try to keep that school in operation on the part of the community or anyone else?
Yes, but it was nothing we could do like they did about the Kyler School. They said it was outmoded. I couldn't see it. I can't see Kyler being outmoded and still being used. I cannot. I could not then, and I cannot now. But they said it was no longer useful as schools. So they closed them, just like they were talking about the Tybee School. Now they're talking about reopen. I don't know what they're doing. But anyway, that's what happened to this school.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't do anything about it. But those schools should not, the way I feel, should not have been closed.
Now, how would you say you were going before whoever wanted to close the school? How would you argue with them or plead the case for the school to remain open? What would you say to them?
Well, let me think about this house as a school to try to make my point. Frankly speaking, I live here. I know what I do in here to try to preserve this school, I mean this home. I know that I have the termite treatment. I try to paint. My maintenance is as best as I could afford. Now, working at both schools, I know that now, I could not see anything wrong with the structure. I could not see. Maybe they saw something that I could not see. But if I had my way, I would really argue the point. Why take this school away from this community when it is needed and nothing is wrong with the building? So I don't know whether it's the building code was wrong when they put it there. They added on to it. We needed to enlarge the cafeteria. They did it. It was being used by the community. I close it. But so many issues came about. Number one was segregation. And they wanted to desegregate the schools. They wanted to give the children what they call wholesale education. And the way they wanted to do it was to bus children here. There were schools that were predominantly white to have some blacks in it, and schools that were predominantly black have some whites in it. And in order to do that, you had to bus children from their neighborhood. Now, as a teacher, not a parent, but I looked at the matter this way. I looked at those little first, second grade children, still babies, being bussed away from home. They were too young. But they say that's where you start, where they're young. Now, tax-wise, money-wise, did they lose or did they win? I got yet to find out. I got yet, all these years, I have yet to find out. Did busing prove this point? I got yet to find out. I don't know. I do have some doubts. It's still in my mind. And I know they're trying to do the best they can, yes. But there will be doubts.
It's such a complex problem.
It is.
While Florence Street was still in existence, and especially especially during the years you were there, how would you describe the school's relationship to that surrounding community? How would you describe the school being a part of the community?
I think it's a great asset. Because from what I learned when I went there, the people were elated. When I went there, there were dirt streets. The streets weren't paved, but the people were happy to have a school in their community. It helped the people to grow. It really did. It helped them to become more community-wise, togetherness they had. The PTAs were beautiful.
Okay.
They did. And they did not begin to drift off until they started this desegregation plan. Some wanted it, some didn't. Some were hurt because they closed the school. Some people moved away to be near the school where their children were being schooled.
So that actually caused some people mm-hmm. to leave the area.
Of course, there were many, many reasons. Yeah. Many. Mm-hmm. Now, when they paved the streets, you could see houses being painted. You could see improvement all around. You could see improvement in the children. Some were even coming to school looking a little better.
Do you remember about when that street paving began? Just approximately.
Oh.
When you started noticing these changes?
Let's say about 5 or 6 years after I started.
Okay, they started gradually.
Yes, yes. Paving, street improving. And the residents began improving, too. Just like you try to do in the neighborhood here. We tell the people, my lawn or your lawn can be ever so green, so pretty. You may have children or sons or a husband to help you. I have no one but me. My husband is deceased. Okay, I have no children. I have to pay people to come when they want to come. Mm-hmm. Okay, then, but if I am an unkept person, you with your pretty lawn is no better. You see what I'm saying?
Neighbors reflect
on each other. If I don't keep mine, and I am constantly harboring trash and dirt and so forth, don't care how my lawn look, don't care about cutting. When you cut, mine will stay there and stay there. And, just don't care about it. That doesn't make your place look any better. But it did not happen in the Florence community. When they, whatever improvement they made, the residents made. And it was a joy to walk even from, it used to be West Broad Street then, it is MLK now. It used to be a joy to get off the bus and walk to the school, because I didn't always have a car.
So in your early years there, you taking the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And what would your route be? Where would the bus stop and what streets?
West Broad and 35th, right
okay.
on the corner. Or either I could go all the way around the belt from Henry Street and come Ogeechee Road. Mm-hmm. Ogeechee Road would be the closest to the school. But I liked to walk at that time. I was a Girl Scout leader, and my legs were in pretty good shape. I was strong, and I didn't mind walking.
And it was a lovely area to
walk. Lovely area to walk, because there were ministers in that area.
There's a church in that area. Homeowners like Mrs. Sadie Davis Steele. She was a mortician's wife. People who cared about the livelihood of the neighborhood. They kept it well. Dope was not in existence then, and you could be feel free to walk. If you had PTA and you wanted to stay at school to do your next day's work or what have you, you were free and unafraid to stay at the school, but not now.
And take a later bus home later.
But not now. That's just how different things are now.
Well, just focusing back on the PTA, I know you mentioned they were quite active and you were involved in it. Could you describe some of the activities of the PTA during your tenure?
We had an active
Florence?
School. Mm-hmm. We had an active enrollment. We took part in all fundraisers in the school and in the community. We did what we could.
What were some of the fundraisers like? How did you raise funds?
Well, we always had that donut sale. Uh-huh. We always had little plays and whatnot. Some of the things...
school children would perform plays.
Perform plays, yes. Can show you right here. This is Mrs. Edwards, and this is Mrs. Quinney, the first principal.
So it was Mrs. Quinney, Mrs. Edwards, and
no,
then Mrs.
Johnson. Quinney was first.
Right.
It was Mrs. Quinney.
Mm-hmm.
Then Mrs. Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
Then when Mrs. Edwards retired, we had Norman B. Elmo.
Okay.
See. Now these are people who were teachers there, and they went on to other avenues. Mm-hmm. She was Miss Alamy Levitt. She became a principal out of Florence.
Mm-hmm.
Jeanette Hayes, whose name is mentioned here, she became a principal out of Florence. This is Miss Alfred. All these were teachers there, not during my time, but before, during Mrs. Quinney's time.
Mm-hmm.
But Miss Alamy Lovett was during Mrs. Edwards' time, this person's time. Okay. This
oh,
is some of
my yours. Stuff. Yeah. Chuck, you want to ask you about these maps too?
Okay. I want to show you some activities. So the lady made it over for me, and she got some of it. These are some of the activities that we had for recreation. See, it's self-explanatory.
Mm-hmm.
Things we did. This is the first faculty member.
Oh, my.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. We had all forms of recreation, like little parties, after-school parties.
For the children.
Mm-hmm. Then we had adult supervision, like the parents would come in and help with it to relieve the teachers. They did. We had work. We had workable.
You
supervision.
Had volunteer parents coming into the school. And they could walk there. They lived in the surrounding area.
Mm-hmm. And they helped. And they did a lot of bake sales. We had carnivals. We just had a lot of things. We had glee clubs that we performed. And before they tore down the old city auditorium, which is now the Civic Center, we had what is called a city auditorium. We used to have operettas. We sold tickets. Parents would buy the tickets, come, and the children perform for them.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that they're doing now is not too much different in what they're doing now than what we did then. We had on the playground, we had little ball games. We compete with other schools. they would come and compete with us. Our children would compete with them. But now we didn't have the use of the buses at that time. The parents would use their cars to cart those children over. Mm-hmm. And we would go along. Mm-hmm. We sold the shirts. We didn't have the... they weren't as decorative as they are now, but they would have the school name on it and so forth. And they were proud to wear them. Parents would buy them for their children, buy them for themselves, caps.
Mm-hmm. And the teachers, as teachers, you would also go to some mm-hmm. of these sporting events
support
the students.
And support. We did it. And anything we wanted in the school, like an intercom system, the board didn't give it to us. We bought it.
So how about things like supplies and mm-hmm. books and a library in the school and things like that?
Well, if they were needed, now the board would give you X number of supplies. But if the PTA, we had a wide awake PTA president, and she saw where we need additional things, she would bring it to the PTA. Some were acceptable, some were not. Those ideas that were acceptable, we were taught it. We mm-hmm. got them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So
there were some things, though, that the board didn't provide that mm-hmm. you, as parents and teachers, managed to raise.
We did.
And what were some of the other things that the PTA raised money for?
Well, like the cafeteria supplies. We didn't have everything that we wanted. Now, the board gave you the building and the furniture, and there were times when, you know how children are, they would throw away the utensils. Mm-hmm. The PTA president would come forward. If the lunchroom helpers would say, well, we are short on thus and so. And when we have our meeting, the principal would have a note, our PTA president and secretary would have a note. I was the secretary. Mm-hmm. And we would bring the issue before the PTA, and a group would take it on. And we got more utensils. We got curtains for the windows. And, for instance, I think the one time the secretary needed a telephone in her office. She had one in the cafeterias with the school gave. But she had to walk so far from her office to this main phone, because the main phone was in the principal's office. Uh-huh. So we put one in her office. Uh-huh. Things like that. And maintain the expense of it. Any little thing you could possibly, that I wouldn't bring up now that you could mention, we have tried to do it. We decorated it. We bought our own decorations. We organize our own decoration committee. As I said, curtains, little rugs that were needed because we had concrete floors. We did. And we bought little area rugs because I think that's a part of my ailment too, because I worked for 10 years on concrete floor, and that's hard on you. And
so that gave you some permanent health problem?
Well, I would say
it contributed to it.
See, and that was before the board decided to put down carpeting, this rubber carpeting over that concrete. So a lot of things we had to do on our own through our PTA.
I would think that would make the parents feel a part of the school. They were directly contributing to its maintenance and improvement.
Sure. Then to enhance that interest, I don't know, I can't really give the credit to any one person because I don't remember and I don't have my book in front of me, but someone suggests giving parents who came up with good ideas, workable ideas, give them a little token of appreciation. And that worked beautifully. I don't mean a certificate now. That's long before they started this certificate business. A little bunch of flowers, a little gift of powder, a little perfume, just something to show how well they are thought of. We had the Mr. and Mrs. PTA contest, things like that. We gave out plaques. So we gave the had the Teacher of the Year party, a teacher who the other faculty members felt that did some outstanding work. They had two of them here. Mm-hmm. I got the pictures around here somewhere. I don't know where the books are. Maybe in those books, I don't know. Some of them. I have so many little pictures that they're scattered. I don't know whether, no, that's my Bible school. That's the church. I had a big Bible school.
At your church?
Yes,
you ran the Bible
I was director.
Oh, my. You've been so busy, Miss Gresham, with children in so many aspects. Girl Scouts,
my
Bible
books,
school.
These are tell us a story. And this is still the Bible school. I had the largest Bible school in Savannah. This is when we honored our graduates, and I was chairman, that's me.
Mm.
And all of this has to do with this. Some of these people, children, attended Florence Street
mm-hmm.
School.
Mm-hmm.
But this isn't what I wanted to show you. The books that I wanted to show you were strictly pictures about Florence and the little mini glee club that I was over.
Oh,
I was director over that. And when I got the children to sing their songs and pull those things, they sung their hearts out. Then we gave concerts, raised little money like that. You'd be surprised how the parents packed the cafeteria to support their children. And we decided on our own project, what we wanted to do for the school. And the first thing they did was to keep flowers on the principal's desk.
Fresh flowers.
On the principal's desk. Some of the parents had beautiful green thumbs and raising flowers in their yards. And their children bring flowers. Keep that flower vase filled with flowers.
This was
showed what little children could do.
Of the glee club?
Project of the glee club. Now, instead of taking their little pennies, what they raised from singing, parents gave them flowers out of their yard. And they created their own little treasure. Then they would buy their own little gowns to sing in. So we have done some wonderful things.
Now, another question I forgot to ask earlier, did many of the teachers and staff live in the area also that you remember?
In surrounding areas. Some of them lived far east side. Some lived, a good many of us lived not too far away. But we lived all over,
mm-hmm.
east side, west side, the north side of town, the south side, and as the subdivisions built, they moved,
mm-hmm.
bought new homes, mm-hmm. and so forth. But by that time, teachers had started buying cars. They had transportation.
That made a big difference.
Made a big difference.
Car.
Mm-hmm.
That was about, what year would you say cars, or about when did cars start being used more?
Mm-hmm.
I know that's a general idea.
It is, because when I came
age.
Along, there were cars. But what I did say to you, not too many of us had cars.
Right.
We were pooling. mm-hmm. see, and using the buses.
Right.
Like me now, when I started, I didn't know how to drive.
Mm-hmm.
See, I had used the bus or what we used to call catch a ride.
Uh-huh. With someone
with
else.
Someone else. But a good many of them had cars now. But those who did not have cars, by the time the city began developing, well, they bought cars.
Okay.
See?
Yeah.
So it was easy to get to school and to PTA.
Mm-hmm.
But they had cars now. So
let me just ask you about these maps, if I could. Now, this is the area that the Neighborhood Association now has designated as the Kyler neighborhood from Anderson to 37th,
mm-hmm.
bordered by Ogeechee and MLK.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people I've spoke to in the community, I talked with Mrs. Ursuline Law the other day, and
mm-hmm.
she explained that this name Kyler has only recently been used for this neighborhood
mm-hmm.
since about 79 when they started the community association.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this area designated as Brownsville from 37th
mm-hmm.
down to
mm-hmm.
Victory, MLK, Ogeechee.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder, during your years working in the neighborhood at the Florence Street School,
mm-hmm.
do you remember these neighborhoods having any kind of name? Did people say they were from a particular neighborhood at that
no.
time?
No. She gave you the correct answer there because, as I told you the first night I met you, I moved into this neighborhood. See, I didn't always live here.
Okay.
She and Miss Williams, Rosalie Williams.
Right.
And Mrs. Carolyn Manigault, they can really orientate you more.
I met Miss Manigault yesterday.
Oh,
she was so nice.
Good,
yeah.
Good. She could orientate you on that. She and Mrs. Law and Mrs. Williams, they could orientate you.
But when you
worked, they live there. But
right, when you worked at Florence, though,
mm-hmm.
The Kyler School was there, but you didn't hear the whole neighborhood referred to. Someone wouldn't say, "I'm from the Kyler neighborhood" at that time.
Well, that is just something that you're hearing now.
I
can't help you too much there.
I have this wider map. How about Brownsville? Would people refer to Brownsville?
Oh, yes. Now, that has been mentioned years. I've been hearing about Brownsville,
okay.
but not the Kyler community.
Okay.
Did any of the rest of them tell you it was mentioned as Kyler?
No. Everyone except one man have all said it's a recent
mm-hmm.
name.
Mm-hmm.
That's about, I think, 6 or 7 people have told me it's recent. Only one gentleman said, oh no, it was always called Kyler, but he lived right near the school, so
mm-hmm.
that may be why he said that.
He lives near the school, near
the Kyler on Anderson Street.
On Anderson Street. Now, where would he live? In one of those row houses?
I think he actually had lived north of Anderson in
mm-hmm.
the area that's now those public housing
mm-hmm.
that used to be.
Let me see.
Minute. Currytown or something.
Now
like
that's
that.
How I know it. This area that's Kyler.
Mm-hmm.
This name, Kyler, as everyone tell you, is recently. It's a recent name.
Right.
Because I know it as Currytown.
Okay.
And where the school is, Kyler School. And where that Fraser home, not Fraser home, yes, from Anderson Street,
mm-hmm.
where the home is right up to the school, that used to be an open street. The street used to go all the way through.
Okay.
See? Mm-hmm. Now that's when I became connected. But other than that, then they closed it when they built this home.
Okay.
So then they renamed this the kind of community.
Can I
but
ask
when I knew it, when I worked at Kyler, it was Curry Town.
Okay, because you were a student at the Kyler School mm-hmm. and taught mm-hmm. there also, and mm-hmm. at those times it was strictly the name for the school, mm-hmm. not for the community.
Mm-hmm.
See, I asked Mrs. Law, why did you select that name? And she said, because the